new episode and a brand new season of Success This Life with your host, Malachi Gross. We're excited to share this new series of interviews with you, our listeners who have stuck with us through the years. We'll have a great new website up and running soon and new interviews every week from now through the fall. We've got an exciting show for you today. New York Times bestselling author Joel Kalm shares some wisdom from his new book, The Fun Formula. We get a little deep, a little philosophical, a little challenging, and even a little old school Baptist church with Joel. We have a lot of fun and learn from Joel about a new way to understand success. We hope you will have as much fun as we did in this great conversation with Joel Kalm.
Like, I'm stupid crazy excited to have you on the show, man. Like, dude, you are my brother. You just don't know that.
Brother from another mother.
Woo! So, you know, I've had all kinds of different people and on the show. This is the comeback season here. And you rank up there with The Secret, Joe Vitale. And that was a fun show that I done many years ago. And and a few others that are important people in my list or my category. But, man, what's going on with Mr. Joel Kalm today?
Well, I appreciate your kind words and adulation. I'm certainly not worthy of it, but I'm glad to be here and have a discussion with you about, you know, whatever. We can talk about the fun formula. We can talk about, you know, the sun rising each day and going down at the end of the day. We could talk about living in Denver. We could talk about whatever you want, man.
I have a question. I mean, like a heart to heart. Tell me about Joel before Joel. Tell me about Joel before then, in terms of, did you ever have a moment where you just like, what am I doing? Like, is
every day? What are you talking about? I still have those moments. What am I doing? Listen, just because things might be flowing and going in a certain direction doesn't mean you ever have it all figured out. At least I never have. You know, Joel, when you ask that question, you know, I think that's kind of unusual. Who is Joel before Joel? Because all I do is me, right? All I've ever done is just be me. And I've always been a bit of a nerd. I've always been into computers since I bought my TRS-80 Model 1 with 4K of RAM at the age of 16 in 1980. And so math, you could figure out how old I am if you care to. And I've always been playful and trying to do the things that I want to do. That seemed fun to me and interesting, that piqued my curiosity. And so, but you know, I always go through seasons. I'm pretty restless, and I'm not really, I don't know if I'd qualify as ADD, but I do like to do multiple things. I like to make sure that my work and my play are in line with one another so that I enjoy what I'm doing. I don't like to sell out for a buck if I don't enjoy, you know, what it is I'm doing to make money. And so, you know, I turn away projects that could be incredibly profitable because is that really what I want to spend my time doing? You know, once you've made money and lost money and you understand the real value of money, you understand that money is not what it's all about. It's about a lifestyle. And so I just try to live out each day who I am and what's important to me. And on some days, on some of them, I actually get it right.
Mm. How do you define success before, and how do you define success now? There's something that has happened, transcendence of or transformation in terms of what's happened, because you've had success, what we quote unquote define success.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we have moments that are successful. Do we ever, you know, what is arriving at success? Mm. That's like, yes. It's like, you know, people say, are you happy? Well, I think it's the wrong question, because in order to be happy, you have to have a happening, right? Mm. Happiness is a feeling. But contentment or joy, you know, a state of being that is persistent beyond whether you're feeling good or feeling bad. Because in the course of one day, something can make you real happy and something else can make you real unhappy. So are you happy or not? Well, you might be happy about what happened, or you might be unhappy about what happened. But I think what people are really talking about is, are you content with your life? Are you living for tomorrow, or are you doing your darndest to live here and now, to carpe the diem, seize the day, because you don't know how long you have on this planet. And it just, it, I find it so disturbing that there's so many people that are planning for the future. You know, they're planning for retirement, or they're planning 10 years from now, I'm going to do this. 5 years from now, I'm going to, I don't know how to live like that, because sacrificing that much of, you know, my life for maybe what I'm planning is actually going to happen, when usually it doesn't go like you plan it anyhow. You know, there's this proverb that man plans and God laughs. I don't think he laughs. I don't think he's laughing. I think he's up there smacking his head going, "What? You know, really, why are you going to do that? Why are you going to take that approach? You know, I gave you today. You woke up. Check your pulse. You got a pulse? Look at that. The sun's up. Even if you can't see it, maybe it's behind the clouds, but the sun's up. You got another opportunity today to live and breathe and engage and interact and have an impact. And that's all that you're promised. And for some people, guess what? That day is the last day. There's not a tomorrow for some people, and one day there won't be a tomorrow for me or for you or for everybody that's listening. And we just spend way too much time listening to the messages that the world and expert marketers, politicians, and so-called leaders, they put things on us. They tell us we should be this, we should be more attractive, we should be faster, stronger, smarter. You know, we need to own a bigger house. And we need to have more money in the bank, and you're just not complete unless you use this dessert topping. And it's craziness, and it removes us from our individuality and from our own hearts and our souls and what it is that we really want. Who are we really? What's really important? And I'm guessing at the end of your life, it's not going to be, gee, I wish I'd made a few more dollars.
Hey. You let me tell you something.
What did I do?
I'm a pastor's kid, even though I'm 41, and I grew up in what we call is a foot stomping, you know,
Pentecostal
church clapping, and when
that was preaching right there, huh?
But what happens where I come from, whenever someone begins to preach like that, you can't really contain yourself, because you want to be like, you want to say something that is supportive.
Amen, brother.
I wanted to amen. And where I come from, I played a little bit of course, I was a drummer, but I played keys. And that was one thing that you really learned how to do first, was back the preacher whenever he began to preach. You'd be like, and you
right, the Hammond organ, you got to hit those deep tones. By the way, I played drums on a worship team 20 years ago in North Texas.
It's all revolving. It's all coming around, around. I actually miss
playing music. I do. I thought, I wonder if I could get a group of guys here, in Denver that just want to get together and form a garage band again. I've really been thinking about that, and I don't have, anybody in mind or the context, just to play some of the oldies and have some fun.
I think, Joel, what you should do is you should put that out there. Like, this is where
I think I just did.
Right, exactly.
I just did.
Social media, there's days that I've struggled with post and doing certain things, and therefore I need to build a team of people to help manage this. And one of the things I'm coming to conclusion with is, of course, you have to pick your poison, pick your platform, what you're going to do, because it's work. But at the same time, I'm sick of trying to, everybody that has all the tools and the tricks and the tips to get something out there. And I just think we need to be more organic. You know, whenever you just said that, it's like you're kind of at that stage. You've done certain things and wrote books, and you've done your thing, but being able to say, hey, I'm going to just play some music. You know what I mean? I think that's that moment of clarity where I think people could possibly truly enjoy it. Really, I think you would enjoy it, because you're right.
You know, I, you know, listen, I'm not really a professional musician in any way, right. shape, or form. In fact, I became a disc jockey in college and then in nightclubs. And then my first entrepreneurial venture was a mobile DJ for weddings and things. And DJs are essentially frustrated musicians, right? We can't play our own music, so we play other people's. But I love music. I have keys. I can't read music, but I can play an octave with my left hand and a chord with my right. And that's all you need.
That's
is, you
all
know,
you
to
need,
be able,
brother.
To be able to play and sit here and sing along is you know, bad as, you know, I've got a great speaking voice. I've got a really average singing voice. But it doesn't matter. I love music, and it's the soundtrack of our lives.
Yes, I love it too, and I think it's important that we, implement it in our lives. I'll implement it here too. A lot of times, whenever I'm speaking, because I grew up that way, it's a place for me to speak, and I grew up with the music. And as you were talking though, man, it resonated home so much. You and your words are the reason why I feel like podcasting. This is my whole goal, is to podcast good information from good people, information that can change and transform lives. There's a new form for me, Joel, a new form and a new way of connecting people to source. And I say source because when we start defining that word, God, and we start trying to really fully investigate the just where we have come when we start speaking of God, especially in our country, let alone everywhere else, there's all kinds of different things that formulate in people's heads. There's all kinds of things that people direct those thoughts towards, mostly American, and I say this purposefully, American Christianity, because it's different everywhere. There's 34,000, I believe, Christian denominations, and it's not taking a punch at it by no means. It's just saying that we evolve as people, and then we change based on many factors, but peace passes understanding. And man, you hit on some beautiful things in terms of where we are today with I think the repercussions of capitalism. The beauty of it is that we have the right intentions
right.
with everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
The curse of it is that we don't want to see it for what it is. Oh my God. We don't want to see it for what it really is in terms of more. And then we want to be okay with it. We want to be okay with it saying that it's okay to want more and not be content and understand what contentment is. And so, oh my God, man, I almost knocked my microphone over. I couldn't take it, but he totally took me off. But we hear about that, man. We hear about that hustle and grind and get it and crush it. And, you know, I get it. Like in terms of some people need to get up and crush it. You know what I mean? Some people need to get up and get that Grant Cardone on. But at the same time, it's like the message to me in that is that there may be something that we're missing, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the term, mm-hmm. in sense of sticking to the grind and getting and going hard and, you know.
That's why I wrote this book. That's why I wrote The Fun Formula. The whole hustle and grind mentality has been taken to what I would consider an unhealthy extreme.
Okay. You're telling me that it's unhealthy.
Wow. Yeah. Look, there's definitely hard work is a virtue, right? We understand that. But just because hard work is a virtue and there's times that you really need to buckle down and get it done. And by the way, I'm not talking about those who out of necessity have to work two or three jobs or work all day. Right. I have great respect for people, especially, you know, amen. Single moms, you're supporting your family. You do what you got to do. Right. But beyond that, just saying people, hey, if you want to win, you got to get out there, be up early, stay late while your chump friends are fishing on the weekend or having a drink. You're in the office. You're crushing it. Listen, 10x the hard work does not equal 10x the virtue. It doesn't. In fact, here's the reason I wrote this book is to be the anti-hustle and grind book, to say, listen, I've had times in my life that I've hustled and ground, is to say. But what I discovered is that the hustle is a dance from 1975 and grinding is for coffee beans. Because when I look at the 23 years that I've done business online, Malachi, and really beyond that through my life before the online entrepreneurial world, I've had probably what I would say 7 or 8 home runs, grand slams. I've had way more than that failures, and then I've had the in-between that, you know, were moderate successes or moderate failures. But when I look at the time that I spent and invested, I discovered that the grand slams again and again and again took the least amount of time in effort. Ooh. And it was the long hours and the beating the pavement that actually I could relate back to some of my biggest failures. And I thought there's got to be something here that I could consistently identify that is, you know, is it just me, or can I reverse engineer this and pull out, you know, some strategies that are applicable that anybody can duplicate? And that's what the fun formula is. It says, listen, it's if you can tell the difference between your work and your play, you're doing one of them wrong. There's a better way, and it's a lifestyle-oriented way, and it's a soul and heart-centered way, and it's a natural, authentic way, and it considers your, you know, you as a holistic person, bringing out the natural gifts that you've been given. That's right, you heard me say gifts, and I know we're on the same page because, you know, the things that I'm gifted at, that I didn't earn those. They were given to me to use to be able to bless others. The skills that I've developed, that's a little different. But our natural giftedness, it should not be hard to exercise. I'm not saying you're not going to have difficulties along the way. I'm saying that your success most often is going to come when you are following your natural curiosity, when you're willing to take risks, and when you are willing to trust the process, the right timing, it's the right call at the right place, showing up at the right event, and being open to talking to the right person, the right phone call, the right partnership. It might be somebody that you've spoken to 15 years ago, and there was never a reason for business, but because you have just lived authentically and in relationship to others, opportunities arise, and they happen all the time. They're all around us, and they tell you, you know, you want that opportunity, you go bang down that door, you keep knocking at that door till that door opens. I'm like, what are you talking about? There is so much opportunity all around you. There are doors that are wide open. There are doors that are even a crack open, and you're going to spend time trying to beat that one over there down? Take off your blinders and see that there is opportunity everywhere, and be open to the plan that you have being changed and adjusted to something better. And again, that's why I wrote this book. And so far, the feedback has been, you know, great from people who have who've read it. And, you know, my job is to inspire people to live a more fulfilling life and have greater success in their calling, in their business.
Joel, this is not just a home run that you've done with this book. This is a call. This is a timely call and a timely book. For a moment that people are needing it more than you can imagine. When you look at the suicide rates and people that are doing it and they've had it all, and you look at where we are as a society mentally, most of our issues, like it's crazy. Pretty much all the issues of the world, let alone in America, all come from consciousness, the conscious state of being of where we are or where that person is, or us not realizing that this is affecting all of us. If you have a bunch of homeless people out there and you have a whole bunch of people that don't know how to live based on history, and then we say, that's not me, that's them. And it's like, don't you know that 99.9% of us is identical in terms of DNA? Like, there's point... we're more alike by far than we are different. We know we're not walking around in all dogs. And so humanity as a whole, that's one of the things that I've been writing in my book that's within, that I'm pushing, has to do more with a message for humanity. And that, and you are right smack dab on it in terms of what you have to say. And the other thing I believe, Joel, is you, and like you just said it about being on that page. I look at the evolution of history of the spiritualness that we have explored as humans. And, you know, now you got this thing, the space that we came on with, quote unquote, new thought. And it's like there's nothing new about the thought. It's just thoughts, right? How we evolve is thoughts, you know, in literature, and we take it in. But there's something that I would say, Joel, that's beyond us, within us, that's connecting all of us. And when we hear those words and those messages that resonate, there's something that really drives us. You're speaking the words that 100% will resonate with people. And your book is a timely call. And you, man, just on the grind and being in the grind, one of the things, I'm not sure if you've experienced it, but you can make, it can really make you sick.
Oh yeah. It's not just that it can, you know, burn you out physically and emotionally, but it can leave you, it can break relationships. You know, if your focus is on hustling and grinding, you're going to be neglecting something way more important, and that is the people in your life. And I think we've all experienced that. I think men more than women have a tendency to be workaholics, though there certainly are, you know, women who experience that as well. And it's easy to think that your main mission in life is to, you know, grow this business, to accomplish this, you know, goal, whatever it is you have before you. And it's not. In fact, I'll say this, which might, you know, put a question mark over yours and your listeners' head, but none of us, none of you, I'll just speak to everybody. None of you are in the business of selling a product or a service. Mm. You're not. You might think you're in the business of selling a product or a service, but you're not. You're in the business of serving people. And people are served with, you know, the conduit is the product or service that you're offering. But ultimately, you're serving people. And if you can't serve the people, you know, closest to you, then how are you going to serve effectively those that you don't know?
Mm. We've known this and we hear it. You've heard this message in certain platforms or places. But boy, does the business world, I think it knows that it needs it. It's really pushing, you know, mindfulness or wellness, or you can start to hear it in the workplace where we're shifting from human doings and becoming human beings. And one of the things that I know that you talk about in yourself, and this has been one of my biggest things, and the heart and the foundation of Success This Life. Success This Life came to me in 2013 at a time in my life that was just transitioning. I had my daughter, and she was probably 4, and I was working from home at the time, and I was watching her. I was watching her while my wife was at work, and it was just an inspiration in time. I was always enamored with success and what it meant, and kind of like to see, you know, to see people. And it was more of achievement, you know, on see people achieve certain pinnacles in life. And it just slowly morphed and changed. And now it's become exactly what you're saying in terms of the three part self: physical, emotional, spiritual. There was another one, the emotional, spiritual, physical, I call it a mental, I separated mental from emotional, but you know, there's things that you talk about within the mindset, and what has changed with you, and kind of go ahead and dive into that three part or four part self.
well, I think we are three-part beings. And I think the emotional, mental, that's kind of, same. You know, that's tied together there, right? Yeah. But, you know, I actually have been through some pretty challenging times myself. You know, I've experienced the growth of a business and also near collapse. You know, I grew my business too big. I was doing what I thought I was supposed to do. And, you know, in 2010-ish, things really took a bad turn in the economy and also in my business. They also took a really rough turn in my marriage and that relationship. And it culminated in my wife leaving me, and I was separated. We tried to work things out for a couple of years. It, you know, unfortunately, it didn't happen. But I took that time to work on myself, to grow, to take care of myself physically. I lost a bunch of weight that I needed to lose and got healthier. You know, emotionally, I dealt with a lot of my own garbage and crap and found out why I did, you know, what I did and where some of my dysfunction was coming from. And I've certainly by no stretch arrived. You know, I think I'm one notch closer to self-actualization now than I was, but it's closer. And in spiritually, you know, I found myself taking the time to connect with God in a way that was meaningful and significant for me. And that was life changing. You know, I think going through deep grief makes you takes the Pinocchio that's the wooden doll and turns you into a real boy, right? Until you've experienced some tremendous loss and really grieved, that's when you really understand the human condition. And it's transformative. And the things that were important before, you have a different perspective on them. You grow in your own skin. You know, you become, if you traverse it in a healthy way, you become more empathic, and you become more authentic, and you care less what other people think of who you are. And I don't mean that you know, gives us license to be uncaring to others. Mm-hmm. I just mean that we have to be accepting, you know, of ourselves. And, you know, we have to love ourselves well before we can love others well. And so, you know, learning to love myself for who I am and accept myself means that I've learned to construct healthy boundaries, to keep good things in and keep bad things out, because there's so much negativity out there in the world that we have to have healthy boundaries. Otherwise, it'll just ooze all over us and it'll affect our own souls. It'll poison our minds. And the world is not a healthy place. It's mm-hmm. just not.
Especially when I believe it is when we don't have prophets or people with calls on their life for the sake of humanity at any given time within the era. There's always some people that are supposed to rise up and stand. Mm-hmm. And I used to help this guy named Dr. Miles Monroe. One of the things he said is the richest place in the world is the cemetery. Dead dreams, dead visions, dead ideas. Mm. Things that people never either self-actualized or realized. And it can be, I think the life can be scary when we don't have a sense of direction. One of this guy just told me recently, he's a Messianic Jew, and he said that whenever he was in Israel, the state that these people lived in was always a state of unknown, always a state of I'm here today. And we begin to talk about being, I called it super present. And that is not just being present as in like having your alms and having your sayings about being present, but realizing that if there was a bomb or attack, or you always constantly hearing the sirens going off because there's a missile possibly coming in, you could develop a state of being or a state that is like, I am here, right? I'm here. Mm-hmm. And the minute something's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm not going to worry about it. And that was kind of the state he was saying, is that they were sitting there trying to, they were like dismantling a bomb or something in a street. And he said he said some people just went and got some beers and were like, not in the street, but just kind of watching from afar. And they were just kind of making jokes among themselves, like, boom, like something blew up. Like, he's just, they lived in a state of just what I would call very present, saying that, you know, I'm here and I could go. And I think the health, once you have that somewhat that understanding, if you don't have too bad of anxiety, when you start to realize that, you can act up, like you were saying earlier, we can act upon, this is my moment, seize the day, this is the day that is made, I'm going to find a way to be glad, find a way that I have this day to seize and take initiative, employment, having a job, survival, having all the things we need, or the things we think we need, some of the things that you're talking about. And so I appreciate it, man, for your time and what you're doing and what you've said. And, you know, let's keep this dialogue going. Your new book, The Fun Formula, How Curiosity, Risk-Taking, Serendipity Can Revolutionize How You Work, is, I think, it's going to be one of your big hits. Brother, of course, you're super easy to find.
Oh, yeah. At JoelCom everywhere.
You are everywhere, strategically. I appreciate your time.
Everywhere I can be. I mean, I do, you know, I'm in the places that I want to be and not in the places I'm not. We've got a website set up for the book with a ton of bonuses if you want to go and claim those there. FunFormulaBook.com.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you for your time, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks, Malachi. Great speaking with you.
Thank you all for listening. For more interviews and articles about health, wellness, happiness, and success of mind, body, and spirit, please visit our website, successthislife.com, and connect with our host, Malachi Gross, on social media, Success This Life on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.